Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to John. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 and then move over to verse 35 through 41. This morning we hear of Jesus healing a man who had been born blind. The story goes like this. And so Jesus went along. He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I do not know," he said. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe this is the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man said. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday in the season of Lent, and today we are on our fourth bag and our fourth story with Jesus in our baggage series. Are you beginning to figure out what bag you need when and what to pack in it? Don't worry, you've still got a few more weeks if you're not quite getting the hang of it just yet. We've come a ways through our journey. The first week we looked at what to fill our backpack with in order to be prepared to face down temptation. The next week we figured out how to pack our gym bags and hit the gym in order to be transformed through Jesus. Last week we learned about how living water can cleanse our dirty laundry. This week we come to our fourth bag that looks like this. Okay, well maybe yours looks like this, but maybe yours looks a little more like this. Right? All right. This week, our bag is a camera bag. Now, most of us have the first sort, the phone case, and we can use it, even though it's meant to be a phone, as a camera. In fact, go ahead and take your phone out right now. Take it up. Get to where you can find your camera. Put it on selfie mode. All right? And snap a selfie with the person near you. I'm going to see if I can get the choir. Nice. All right. So go ahead and look at your picture. This was not my best selfie attempt. It was better than the one I took at 8:30 where I got about that much of my face. But this one, I'm in focus and everybody else is super blurry. So not the best picture of what I was trying to take. And maybe you notice in your pictures that it's not quite what you had intended. After you have a second to look at your picture, it's time to put the phone back away. Sometimes when we take pictures, they're pretty good, and sometimes they're less than ideal, right? There might be things that you didn't intend in the background, like 10 other people, maybe in your picture today, that you didn't quite expect to be doing the things that they were doing. Maybe they were making a funny face or also taking a picture. There are lots of things that can make some of our amateur picture taking less than ideal. At our church preschool this week, each class had school picture day this week. And I marveled at the way the professional photographer who came was able to do her job, taking individual portraits and class portraits of each class. She was able to capture little details that would have been easy to miss. Have you ever noticed that before? The way that professional photographers can really hone in on those details that most of us would miss otherwise? In today's Bible lesson from the Gospel of John, Jesus gives sight to a man who was born blind. In the story, the disciples have that sort of amateur photographer feel to them. They have a limited picture of who the man is. So they begin by asking a really amateur question. They say, "Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus responds to them that it is neither, that the man was born blind so that others might see through the miracle that Jesus performs in giving him sight. Now, this does happen to expose the blind man to a world that he's never known before. He gains sight, never having had it previously. And it changes him. It changes him in such an enormous way that those who have observed him for years hardly recognize him. They begin to ask each other if that's really the same guy or if it's just the guy that sort of looks like him. Now, the only thing that has changed about this man is his ability to see. They begin to recognize things they had never before seen in him. Now, God's picture-perfect perspective is revealed in the story in John. And that picture-perfect perspective of God extends to you and to I today. You see, when God is at work in our lives, we don't always understand how everything fits together. We're pretty good at thinking about the moment that we're in, and that's about it. We sort of think that's all that matters is what's happening right now. We focus on whether it might be good for us or bad for us. But when we take a step back, when we look past just the current moment, we can see a little better what God is doing in our lives and in the lives of those with whom we are in relationship with and with others all around the world. We can't quite see the world through God's eyes. And sometimes that's a result of our own shortcomings, our own blinding needs and wants or life experiences. Sometimes we're able to see the big picture and we realize that we're not alone, that we're not the only one on earth, but that we are one of many, that we're connected, that we influence one another. Now, I don't think any of us were born blind, but we still don't have the same vision that God has. We don't have that picture-perfect perspective mastered just yet. Our ability to see, to really see the way that God sees, comes from God and God's grace. We sing about it in one of our beloved hymns, Amazing Grace. We sing, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Have you ever been to the eye doctor and noticed what a difference the twist of a few knobs or dials can make? Either everything was clear and now it's suddenly very blurry with just a few twists, or it was very blurry and all of a sudden, wow, there's a whole world out there. What once was blurry and impossible to see, sometimes with the right help, can now be easily viewed. Did you know that cameras also have a bunch of dials and knobs, or at least some of the older ones do? Those knobs and those dials on cameras can make a huge difference in the quality of the pictures that it takes. Before technology gave us the high-powered cameras that automatically focus and fit in a phone in your pocket, it took training and skill and a good artistic eye and often more than one attempt to get a perfect picture with an average camera. We often see the digital cameras, the small point-and-shoot style cameras, and you get what the camera focuses on. Now, if you happen to be doing this with your phone, sometimes you can touch different places and try to make your phone focus on other objects, but it's not a perfect system. With more sophisticated 35mm cameras, you could adjust and change that focus. You could focus on something in the foreground, or you could focus on something way in the distance. You could adjust your lighting. You could adjust how long the exposure would be, how long it would be open and capturing an image. And with each adjustment, you would get a different photo of an identical scene. Jesus' encounter with the man who was born blind is sort of like this. Perhaps in the moment of conversion, it seems a little less important what difference is made in this man's life. You see, conversions can be messy. Jesus literally made a mess. He spit on the ground, made mud, and then put it on the guy's eyes. That seems messy. But perhaps more importantly, it doesn't sound very convincing that that's how the man's sight was restored. We might have a similar situation. Maybe you had a really holy moment in your life that you experienced, and you started talking about it and didn't quite have the right words for it, but you were trying to explain it to someone, and suddenly you realize the whole world did not have that holy moment with you. So what do you do? What do you do when that conversion is indescribable, but the difference before and after is not? You do what the blind man did. You tell about the difference that has been made. He talks about what others can now see for himself. So let the description of before and after carry you through. Maybe it starts like this. I once believed whatever it was, and now my eyes are opened, and here's what I see and know. We're going to do this in a very non-biblical way, just as a quick example and model for you. There's going to be a video clip. It's pretty silly, but I want you to play along. It's short. It's less than a minute, and there is no sound needed. The instructions are printed on the screen for you. So I would very much like for you to follow the instructions that are on the screen and to do as the video says. Let's watch it. So the difference. What difference did it make that you were first given an instruction to count the number of passes, and the second instruction you were given was, did you see the moonwalking bear? And then the rewind and replay. Was there a difference in how you viewed the video then? Yeah. And it's not that you were blind to the bear the first time, it just wasn't what you were focused on. Where our focus goes matters. It makes a difference. Once I believed this, but now my eyes are open and this is what I see and know. Not everything you knew before was wrong. There are still 13 passes that the team in white makes. But it wasn't the full picture, was it? The theologian N.T. Wright asks an important question. He says, who decides when the picture is in focus? This is a question about authority and about judgment, about who gets to determine if we're focusing on the right thing. Now, there is an answer to this question, and we get it from John's Gospel and from much of the New Testament. It's Jesus himself who has this right. The work of bringing God's judgment to bear on the world, of setting things right, of bringing the picture into focus, that was often regarded by Jewish leaders as the role of the Messiah. Ironically for them, the position of the man Jesus' accusers, the hardline Pharisees, gets exposed in this story. You see, they've constructed a system in which they have found that they can never be wrong. They have tightened up the rules and the laws such that they can never genuinely be mistaken, for they are not open to new evidence. They've created a closed world, like a sealed room, and no light can get in from the outside. So who decides if our picture is in focus? Jesus. Because it's only by looking through the lens of Jesus over and over and over again that we can be quite sure that we are standing alongside the man who is born blind, who has this newfound faith and an openness to God's light. And that is the makings for a perfect picture. Life can go by in a blur. It can be hard to know where we should focus, how we should interpret what we're seeing, if we should focus on the thing that seems right up in our face, or if we should focus on something a little more in the distance. Looking through the lens of Jesus will help us figure that out. Now, practically, how do we do that? Here's the way to start. Reflect on Scripture and be in prayerful conversation with God. Allow your journey and your sight to be illuminated by God's light. For that will show you where to go and how to focus. Let us pray. Healing God, we know all too well the feeling of being blind. We have chosen to hide in the darkness of self-pity. We have chosen to despair in the shadows of anxiety. We have tried to escape into caves of isolation. Sometimes we're afraid of the light, O God, and yet we are drawn to it, to you. Forgive our lack of faith and our fearfulness. Give us the courage to step into the light, to adjust our focus. For in your rays of healing light, we find home and restoration and our own transformation. Open our eyes and our hearts, Lord, that we may receive the light of your salvation and see opportunities to serve you. May our lives be transformed by your mercy. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.